Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Growth Matters Radio.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Matthews, and we're here for another exciting episode of Growth Matters, the show where we talk about all things growth. And today I have an opportunity to kind of bring together two areas of my life that are kind of a passion. So many of you know that I have my own consulting practice, so the whole idea of owning your own business and being an entrepreneur is one of my passions. And if you also know me, you know that I am a very, very proud Spelman graduate. And so it's a big weekend in the AU Center this week. Not only is it Morehouse's homecoming, they're playing Benedict, but also Clark Atlanta. It's their homecoming, and they're playing Albany State. So as a nod to two of my passions and the fact that it's homecoming weekend, I have a what we call Spellhouse edition of Growth Matters. And for those of you that don't know that term, that's what we affectionately call the relationship between Spelman and Morehouse. So my guests today are David Moody, and he is the owner and president of C.D. Moody Construction. And they've been in business since 1988, and they are an award-winning general contractor and construction management firm. And they really specialize across a number of industries, aviation, collegiate. He's going to tell you a little bit about a project that they just finished, commercial, K-12, et cetera. And so we welcome David Moody to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And then my Spelman sister, we have San Quinetta Dover, who is president and CEO. Let me follow back up. David is also president and CEO of his firm. And San Quinetta's organization is Dover Staffing. And they have been around since 1996, so you can see both of them are long-term entrepreneurs. And Dover Staffing is a full-service staffing firm, and they have a reputation for extraordinary client care and business integrity. And as I was doing a little bit of research about both of these individuals, both of them are just award winners across a number of categories, and we can also bring that out during our show. So welcome, San Quinetta.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. So let's tell our listening audience a little bit about both of your organizations. David, if you mind, I'm going to kind of go to my Spelman sister first. And tell us a little bit about Dover Staffing and what you actually do for your clients.
Well, Dover Staffing provides staffing services across the metro Atlanta area. We provide administrative assistance, call center staff, light industrial. We also provide professional staffing services. We provide our clients with customer care because we believe in the win-win-win solution. We are bringing to our clients world-class, highly trained employees so that they have low turnover. We ensure that they get good competitive rates so we are able to really take care of our customers. That's very, very important to us. That's a part of our culture and our philosophy. As well as we want to ensure that our employees are in a very good environment. So we look for great clients so that they have a good work experience because we believe that that really creates a great relationship. And then it's good for our company. So that helps to grow our company, and that's why we've been around for a long time. So we're very excited about how we deliver our services to our customers.
Great. And so, David, tell us a little bit about C.D. Moody Construction Company.
Sure. We started, like you said, 1988. We're a general contractor. And we build buildings. We make clients' dreams become reality in the building. We renovate buildings. We construct them brand new. We've done the International Terminal as a partner, joint venture partner. We're doing a new Civil Rights Museum. We're finishing a big project in Tuskegee. We did the Ray Charles Center at Morehouse Leadership Center. I mean, a number of projects. And basically, we're the guy or company that you call when you want a great project built, and I'm very excited about being in the industry that I've been wanting to do since I was a kid.
You know, as I talk to people that, you know, maybe were in corporate America and they, you know, came out and became a business owner, or people that are thinking about it, I was reading an article, and I can't remember the source, but it was kind of talking about that question, are entrepreneurs and business owners, can you be groomed to do that, or is it that those that take that path sort of have a natural inclination? So our listening audience would really be interested in sort of how did you know that you could do this when you started way back in 1988, David?
Well, I have a kind of interesting story. I had gotten married, and we moved, and we lived in Ann Arbor. And my parents lived 2 miles to the right, and my wife's parents lived 2 miles to the left. And after about 8 months, I said, we're going to be happy. We're going to leave. So we ended up moving to Atlanta, where I went to school, and I left a great job with Bechtel Power Corporation as an architect, as a staff architect. My wife had a great job. And actually, the company I came to work with went bankrupt 3 months after I was here. I've been married 9 months, and I'm trying to figure out how do I tell my wife and my in-laws I don't have a job. So I spent the next 4 years working for small companies, and then finally my wife and I agreed we didn't have anything, so let's just go for it. So I really believe entrepreneurs, it's something that you have to have a passion for. You have to be willing to take the risk. You can't worry about money because you're not going to have any for quite a while, have any money. But it's really about a passion and just wanting to go do it. And it's not for everybody. It's more than the notion, because you're responsible for other people. I mean, I've had up to 75 employees, and their livelihood depends on the decisions I make. So you have to understand you're responsible for a lot of people. So being an entrepreneur is something that you want the responsibility. You want to keep growing. You want to keep reinvesting in your business. And it has to be something that's exciting to you. And for me, I just love it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, we can hear the passion in your voice. So, San Quinetta, what was your path to Dover Staffing?
Well, my path to Dover Staffing was through the federal government. I was a liquidator for FDIC, and I traveled around the country closing banks. And I decided that, you know, I wanted something a little different. And I had an opportunity to be tutored in the Chicago area with S.B. Fuller, and I learned about business. And I said, I would like to start my own business. And I was raised in a family of educators, and I was graduating from Spelman, an economics major. And I was putting all the things together, my experiences, and thought that I would like to start my own business. Didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I did have a deep desire early on to be a business owner and to be an entrepreneur. So I was very excited about the opportunity that I had in Chicago to learn about how to grow a business, how to look into myself to see who I am, to realize my passion, as David was talking about, because it is about a passion, because you're going to live with this day and night, 24/7. And you have to be very, very committed and realize, is this really what I want to do? So I love what I do. I love helping people. We provide a great service. We help people find jobs. We help people get trained. So I feel that we make a difference in the community. We make a difference in the lives that people have and help them to provide for their families. And that is very important to me. And so in defining what your passion is and your purpose is in life, that is very integral in deciding what you want to do as an entrepreneur, because you will be doing it 24/7.
Yeah, so it turns out both of my guests in the studio today were actually at Morehouse and Spelman at the same time. You may not have known one another, and I would just be remiss if I didn't at least ask one question during the show about both those great institutions. Were there things about the Morehouse or Spelman experience that you feel really helped you be prepared to grow this business and take it to where it is? I'm going to go to David first.
Well, I spoke yesterday at the Crown Forum. I was a keynote speaker, and one of the things I told the students, Morehouse and Spelman, but I'll just speak for Morehouse, it instills in you the desire and knowledge knowing you can do whatever you really want to do. You leave there knowing, if I want it and I'm willing to work hard, have integrity, character, honesty, great things that happen. And I have a daughter who's a graduate of Spelman of 09, and I must admit Spelman is pretty impressive themselves, because she's definitely a Spelman woman. And you guys are very strong, very strong-willed, and it's quite interesting being a daddy of a Spelman graduate now.
Yeah. San Quinette, how did our alma mater help prepare you?
Well, Spelman is an organization that grows leaders. And today, you know, I'm just so excited to be here to share information about our alma mater. And yesterday I was on campus for a kickoff of some programs, you know, leading up to homecoming weekend, where we were providing employment opportunities to returning alumna. And so Spelman is just always trying to find ways to engage and provide resources and information to help grow the current young women that are there, as well as returning alumna. But I am just excited to be a part of also a program. It's a co-curricular program that we are developing and working on a program to provide entrepreneurship to Spelman women as a co-curriculum program. So that is something that is being developed, and I'm excited to be a part of the planning stages of that program. So Spelman is definitely providing the platform and fostering the environment to grow leaders and to grow entrepreneurs and to for women for whatever endeavors that they choose to partake in.
Yeah, so I certainly have my own Spelman story, and you know, just the thing that I would add to that before I get a little bit about how you all grow your business and how you think about it. You know, Spelman for me, and I've heard Dr. Tatum say, it's one of the few places that was made for me. And as an African American woman, that was definitely true. Although I thought I was smart coming out of high school, but I really gained a lot of that confidence, and I think without that, I'm not sure I would have been able to step out on my own in 1999 and build a business. So it's that special place in our heart, and it's nice to know that it also can help you fulfill your professional dreams. You know, one of the things you both had talked about, you've got to have a passion for it. You live it 24 hours, a day. One of the things that I find hard, and I'd be really interested in how you keep up with it. How do you just keep up with the trends? Because if you're not, you know, doing the work day to day, but also having an eye to the future about what's evolving, you're not going to be able to grow over time. So, you know, David, how do you and your organization keep up with all the different things that are happening in the construction and architectural industry?
Well, a couple of things. One, construction is a little different because you can only build a building one way. You can't put a roof on before you put the walls. I think more that we look at in construction are materials that might be changing, how to use technology to make ourselves more efficient, looking for younger and newer people to come into the industry. It's still hard to find people to want to work in construction, be a crafts person. So that's more of our focus. But also, my daughter is in the business, so I'm training her and some of the other younger folks to eventually take over. And so the real part that we look at staying up is from a leadership standpoint, I spend a lot of time reading, paying attention to other people that have been more successful than me. One of the greatest teachers, I believe, is watching and being around and picking people's brains that have done it before you, better than you, and also realizing every day I can still learn something. Even at 57 years old, I'm always trying to figure out what can I learn new. But I also make sure I work hard to stay physically fit, emotionally fit, and spiritually fit, because this is real. I mean, this is no joke, because people are counting on you. And when you're in an industry where one bad job can cost you everything, you got to stay on top of your game. And also with the Great Recession, costs got really low, fees got real low. People got desperate, undercutting things and as far as costs. So you really have to be careful now from a legal standpoint, make sure you're documenting everything, because people have gotten pretty ruthless in business, in industry. So you got to stay up on this. It's not a lot of trusting people's word anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you really got to document everything, because people are looking for an edge to save a dollar or not pay you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sanguina, you're in the people business. And so what are some trends or what are some of the things you're having to keep up with to provide that excellent care for your clients?
Well, yes, we're in the people business. And, you know, one thing that I do is I stay engaged with organizations, professional organizations that touch on employment, human resources, so that, you know, I am up on what's going on. They provide great resources, speakers that are bringing valuable new information about things that are going on in the industry. We find that there is a skills gap in the workforce, in the workplace, and that is talked about often in many articles that you may read about people looking for talent, because things are changing. We're in an evolving world, and the way things were done, you know, years ago, they're not done the same way. So you have different skill sets. And if we have not kept up with our education, then we do not have the appropriate skills for the workplace of today. So that is a challenge that employers have. And so that provides an opportunity for us to be a resource to them to fill that gap, to go out and to look for that talent. And also in our organization, in the family of Dover Brands, we have Dover Training Institute. We provide training resources and educational opportunities. So we are training individuals to fill those gaps. And then we're able to provide that talent to our employers so that they would have an educated workforce that can fill the jobs that they have. So In that regard, those are some of the things that I see. You know, there's a surge in health care needs and in that industry, in the health industry. So we're looking to provide talent and resources there, as well as in construction. And, you know, there's always a definite need for talent. So those are some of the things that we are trying to make sure that we're at the forefront so that we can do that. As I said, you know, you have organizations that we go to, and to provide myself with some balance because I am very busy, I find myself networking. So that also gives me a social outlet. I was at Spelman yesterday. I talked about the importance of networking because it engages you with other people that you may not typically see on a day-to-day basis. So it gives you an outlet to get out and to learn and have conversations and just to find out what's going on in the marketplace. So those are some things that I do.
So tell us a little bit about maybe a story with one of your clients so we get a better sense. Actually, I'm going to ask that of both of you, of a project or a type of need that you are recently filling with your clients.
Okay, well, I would say it is varied. We recently provided staff for one of our clients for customer service representatives. And so we did a big sourcing and hired close to 75 people for this project. And it's very important because when you are looking for customer care personnel, that you have to find that skill set, because they are the voice and the face of the client to provide the service. So that was a project that we recently stood up. And another project that we did that was very dear to me, for the Army Reserve, we stood up a program providing services to families of the fallen soldiers. Mm-hmm. And we supported them with support coordinators and financial counselors. And so, you know, those are varied types of projects that we work on. We provide, as well as staff, we provide project management, consulting services. So that is an example of a type of consulting service that we would provide.
And David, so again, I'll have to disclose, I'm your Facebook friend, and so I have the opportunity sometimes to see the different projects and the things that your company does. I don't know if you want to talk about what's going on in Tuskegee, or you might talk about another project.
Well, one, we're working on the new Civil and Human Rights Museum here in Atlanta. But the one in Tuskegee is kind of special to me because it was built in 1906. The students built that building. They manufactured the brick, And some of the students would have been either first generation free blacks, or some probably were actually born into slavery. And I could feel the history of that building when we were bidding on that project. And also, it was designed by the first African American to finish MIT School of Architecture and be the first licensed black architect. And his granddaughter is Valerie Jarrett. So it's kind of neat to be able to be a part of that. But we actually gutted this building down to the walls, took the roof, everything, and rebuilt it back to a 90,000 square foot structure. So that building meant a lot to me just from the history and the fact that the students built it, because it's hard to find young people who would even want to be in construction and get their hands dirty. But it's a great profession, great salaries if you want to get in it. But that project there meant a lot and means a lot to me. And the Ray Charles Center in Morehouse did also, just because of what it stood for with Ray Charles and being on my own campus. So construction for me is healing, because I started a blog last year because I'm a sexual abuse survivor. I never said anything until I was 36, and took me until this year before I ever said it publicly, and I've really been speaking out about it just to help other survivors. So my business and construction and my history all kind of tie in, because every time we do a building, I feel like I'm rebuilding myself from the damage that was done. So that's something that's real important to me. And I'm going to get a cheap plug in my blog. It's www.moodyspeaks.com. It's been read in 65 countries.
Yeah, it's powerful.
And that means a lot to me. So I'm really looking how my business success has allowed me to now speak out on something that we don't like to talk about, but many people are suffering, but also hopefully get prevention in sexual abuse. And so we can have children not have to grow into adults to have to suffer for years in silence. So that's something that construction means to me, is rebuilding lives too.
And both of you talked a little bit about personally, Sanquina, you talked about mentoring and helping students and being a part of that. And then David, as you just so candidly shared, and we appreciate that candor, talk to me a little bit about, as you think about the longevity of your career, you know, where have you really had to go deep when you've had to see yourself as a leader of an organization and it maybe has done some things to change you personally? You know, if you'd be willing to give our listeners a little bit more insight about you personally and how being an entrepreneur has affected maybe how you see the world or maybe how you deal with the world.
Well, you know, I'm from a small town in South Carolina. And my first job was in New York City. I went to the big city and worked for the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation as a liquidator. And so that was a big spread of going from a small town, stopping at Spelman to get my degree, and then going on. But I think that, you know, finding good relationships, friends that you can trust, people that are willing to mentor you and have a real interest and care about who you are and that work to help to develop you along the way as a young woman. I think that was very important to me as I grew myself, and being open to receive information, not believing that I know everything, being a sponge and willing to hear and learn about new concepts and new ideas helped to broaden me as a woman and to help me to become the business owner that I am today. Because, you know, I came to Chicago and I really did not know what I wanted to do with regards to going into business. But if I had not been open to receive the knowledge or to be willing to go and venture out to learn about new concepts and to learn about new things, I would not be where I am today.
Well, for me, I'm probably one of those few lucky people that are doing what they want to do since they've been a kid. Always wanted to be in architecture. And after I finished Morehouse, I went to Howard and got a degree in architecture. And worked in architecture, but I took a field assignment with Bechtel in a nuclear power plant where I was in the power division. And I just fell in love with the action, the dirt, the hard hats, the boots, the noise, some of the language. It was just reminded me of playing football. I mean, you're just out there in the action. Two things happened. One, I realized I didn't have the patience for architecture. And two, you got to remember, this was before computers. We still actually did all our drawings by hand. And secondly, I knew I was only going to be average. But I knew I could take my architectural knowledge and go into construction. And that's actually how I got into construction. If the company I was working for hadn't went out of business, I might not have never taken the risk. I was also fortunate enough that I'm married to a woman who's not materialistic, so I didn't have to make a lot of money. And she was like, we already don't have anything. Let's go for it. I never knew if she meant that in a good way or I just hadn't done anything yet. So I always go with a good way. So having all those things kind of fall in place, you know, we were broke. We didn't know how we were going to pay the house note, a lot of things. It was a real struggle. But I had a passion for this. I love what I was doing. I had a very supportive wife. And I just knew if you're good at what you do, always stay humble. Don't take yourself too serious. Laugh at yourself and be good at what you do and do it the right way. Good things would happen. And I never had a dollar amount in my mind that I needed to make. Because I believe if you ever just focus on money, you're not going to get through the hard times to build a business. And I tell people this story that kind of confirms that. You know, Steve Jobs of Apple was one of the richest men in the world. With all the money he had, he couldn't buy one more day on this earth. And I'm willing to bet he would have given it all away to be here. So that's why I always tell students or anybody interested in business, don't do this for the money. Find something that you love, that you want to try to be one of the best. Do it the right way and just see where it goes. So to me, that's pretty much about how I've looked at building this business. Just keep getting better. And now I'm at that stage where I'm really trying to share this knowledge with that next generation and teach them, because very few of us who are entrepreneurs have ever been presidents of a company, vice president. I mean, I probably spent the first 10 years trial and error because I didn't know. Furthest I ever came was a project manager at a company. So to get thrust into doing it, but also I was very fortunate to have a brother who class 83, Corey Moody, who's a CPA. He really helped me because he knew accounting. So that really was very helpful to have somebody that understood the numbers. And he helped me in the beginning of my business. So that was very helpful.
Yeah. So if you think about, again, I read a lot and I don't always remember the sources, but I read something a couple of weeks ago where it was really talking about with this whole social media and Facebook and Twitter, you know, sort of the face that you put out there may not be the person that you are sort of in your day-to-day. And that when they do surveys, you know, people are having a sense that their life is more challenged or troubled because they're seeing what's out on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever. You know, you only mostly put out your most positive self. So where am I going with this? I think it's really important as we talk about business and leadership that we also shell with something I think both of you alluded to. It's not always easy. And that to really go the long distance, you have to be able to turn challenges and be honest and self-reflective of yourself with this didn't quite go so well, but I'm not going to let it keep me down. So kind of putting you on the spot, San Quinetta, but do you have maybe a challenge or a particular project that maybe didn't go as well as you wanted it to and you were able to learn something from that and keep going or turn it around so that you were able to say, I met that challenge and I've been able to move on? Because I think that's really important.
That is very important. And I'm just going to speak about as a whole, just being an entrepreneur, the day-to-day, because you may work on an opportunity and spend a lot of time, submit a proposal, that you feel that you've done a lot of work on and not be successful in getting it. And you may do that time and time and time again. And but the key is you can't give up, because even though you may not have won the opportunity, there's a learning experience there. There's something to build upon, to take that to the next level, and to believe that I will be successful, I will get an opportunity, and to use that information to keep growing. Because in everything that I do, there's something positive. I always look for the seed of positive in every situation, and to use that to grow it and to build. And I have found that by having that attitude and keeping that spirit, that has kept me going and helped me to continue to grow the company over these past 17 years that we've been in business. So I would say overall that is one thing that is a challenge. It's a challenge just day to day, just knowing that I'm going for new contracts, looking for new opportunities. When the phone rings, is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? You know, but to be open and to be willing and to stay positive and to meet that challenge and work to turn lemons into lemonade if it comes up that way, because it's not always going to be roses.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of want to echo what she's saying. When you're in business, pretty much every day is a challenge. Every day is a learning day, because like in construction, we have some jobs, we'll have up to 1,000 people working on them. And you got to make sure everything fits right. You got the safety part. You got to make sure the drawings that you're reviewing are right. So you learn, there are no what I call great smooth jobs, because you're dealing with people. Construction is one of the few places where robots aren't building it. It's people. So there's always a learning curve. I think the couple things in my life where I really say as an entrepreneur I had to turn the corner was when I first started. How was I going to make it? After about 4 or 5 years, wondering, can you still make it? Then you get to a point, I've been in business 25 years, where you're doing okay. Now you don't want to mess it up. And you kind of have to be careful with that, because now you start playing prevent defense. And most of us who know football, when you play prevent defense, they end up scoring anyway because you just let them march down the field. So you got to keep – there's a delicate line to find that balance between staying aggressive as you were when you started the business and had nothing and getting to the point where you got something a little bit. You don't want to mess it up and lose it. So there's that – then that's that new balance that comes in. So it's always a learning curve, is always a challenge, and you got to just find that balance all the time. You don't rest when you're an entrepreneur. You might sleep, but you never rest.
Yeah. San Quinella, you look like you're echoing that. Didn't know if you had something that you wanted to add.
Well, definitely when you're talking about not resting, because something may come to you in the middle of the night and you wake up and make a note. Because it's always on your mind. My business is always on my mind. And so I'm living it. I mean, it is my life. We are one. And so if there's an issue or something that I am trying to work through, I seek out people. I seek other people that may have other resources that can help me, because I believe in having mentors and working with other organizations that can bring about resources that can help me to perfect my business. And so I am always working on my business, because it's trying to take it to the next level, taking it to the next level, because if I don't, then we die.
Yeah, so I want to piggyback on that, taking it to the next level, because you said that and then you also talked about resources. And for me, as someone who started just as a solo practitioner and then I'm trying to grow my consulting practice into, something that doesn't just revolve around Michelle Matthews, and that in itself, when you start something and it's only you, it's really hard to make that transition. I've had to self-fund all of my growth. Either through I had a line of credit or the bank was willing to help secure it, Michelle Matthews, or obviously through projects. And so I always like at during the show to sort of tap into how did you position yourself from a funding standpoint and from a capital standpoint, because, you know, without that, even if you have good ideas, you can't always bring them into fruition. So, David, without, you know, giving away all the secrets, how have you been able to grow and make sure that you've had capital to continue to expand?
Well, a couple of things. One, when we first started, my wife and I took a $3,000 loan to kind of help fund us. But the other thing I tell people, I sit on a bank board. I've been on Citizens Trust Bank board now 17 years. And one of the things I tell people, you got to have, first of all, good credit. And if you got a credit issue, fix it. Now, when we were struggling to make ends meet, my wife and I wrote to the mortgage company, our credit card people. We made agreements, and we kept those agreements. That is so critical. As we made a few dollars, one thing I always tell folks, don't spend every penny you make. I know people who make a lot of money and they're broke, and I know people who only make $50,000 a year and they're wealthy. So it's about how you look at spending your money. That's the key thing. And also building a reserve. I tell people, you know, I call it mad money. You want to have that money when if something goes wrong, you can handle it. So many people put themselves in a position where they need this $500. They got to go ask somebody. And a lot of times it's not because they didn't have it. It's what they did with their money. Now, there's a difference because my wife and I, we didn't have anything. I mean, we probably would have 20 bucks if we were lucky. And I look back and kind of smile about it because we never missed a meal. We still were able to have what I call a very good life. We learned to take the kids to the park. We bought a pass to the zoo back in the early 90s for like 40 bucks for the year. We went to the zoo every Sunday after church. You know, so you find the cheap stuff to do that's free or buy the annual pass. And what that really helped us learn, too, you really don't need a lot of money to be happy. You know, if you got a family that's happy, you're healthy, you love each other, you're doing what you want to do, it doesn't take money, and money will never buy happiness. It will not. Now, it'll make things a little easier, but it don't buy happiness because also a lot of responsibility comes with money, too.
Yeah. So, San Quinetta, before you talk a little bit about how you've been able to fund, I do want to go back because when you said how much you started with, $3,000, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, also point out to our listeners that you can build, you know, upon your dreams. And while I'm sure $3,000 at the time seemed a lot,
$1 million.
Right. If you think about that today and you think about the business where you are, one would say that was a very small investment for what you've been able to turn it into. So I think it does go back to if you have a passion, you're willing to take that risk, that you don't have to have lots and lots of money to get started, but you do have to be fiscally responsible. So, San Quinetta, how have you funded the growth of your company?
Well, I too had a small amount of money. I did not have a loan, but when I came to Atlanta, I had about $1,500. That I started my business with, and I knew that I had a small amount of money, and so I hit the ground running. I got out, I networked, and I used my ability to communicate and to get someone to have a understanding what I was doing and to trust me to give me opportunities. And I used that money and put it into the business, and I talk about don't buy the shoes. You know, put the money in your business. Don't spend money on yourself, but commit that money to the business and regenerate that money over and over until you are in a position to enjoy some of the fruits of your business. I'm not saying not to enjoy it, but you have to have some balance because it is difficult to get funding. And I chose to develop a relationship. I developed a great relationship with Capital City Bank and worked with them. And we've been able to grow through our banking relationship there. And we've also do accounts receivable funding with Action Capital, where we have a great relationship. So communication, talking to your bankers, your funding people that fund you to let them know what you're doing so that they can be in alignment with you. And having a good CPA, having those relationships that help provide you with good financials and to make sure that you are doing what you need to do to have a sound business is very, very important. So it's not about the bling. It's about making sure that you are around, that you have a stable company, a foundation that you can build upon, and that you can offer opportunities to other people. Because that's very important to me, that we have an organization that helps to provide opportunities to others that they can provide for their families.
So that's a great segue. What opportunities do you see ahead for Dover Staffing as you look out over the next couple of years? What are you trying to build on with the dream that you have already been able to achieve?
Well, we are growing, and we've done a lot of work in the government sector. We made a shift several years ago before the recession hit, probably around 2007. We started moving and seeking opportunities in the public sector space. And so now we are looking to grow as we see the resurgence of the economy. We're growing and developing relationships in the private sector and working with corporates to provide them with staffing services. So I see that as an opportunity. And also I had the opportunity last year, I traveled to China with Mayor Reed and saw some opportunities for Dover Staffing and Dover Solutions. And we are exploring an opportunity to provide services to China.
Yeah. So, David, where are you going with?
Well, we're also just got selected as part of the team. We're going to build the new Falcon Stadium. So that's
congratulations.
Team of Holder, Hunt, Russell, and Moody. So that'll keep us busy to 2017. And we got some other projects we're working on. I'm more focused now on really working on that next generation of leaders in the company. And being that my daughter is a Spelman graduate, just waiting for her to tell me get lost. So, and she's taking over. So you know how Spelman women are. Y'all get pretty bossy. So I really don't know how much longer she's going to allow me to hang around. But I don't ever plan on retiring. What else would I do? My wife don't want to look at me every day, and I don't play enough golf. So I haven't done anywhere near what I want to do business-wise as far as the type of projects. So I'm looking more for fun projects, but also really good clients. You know, just I still believe you ought to be able to look somebody in the eye, and your word should be enough. And so those are the kind of projects I'm looking for.
Yeah, so as we wind down the show, I'd be really interested. You've given us both really, I think, great business insight, but great insight into sort of your values and your beliefs. And so I really appreciate you kind of being open and honest about that to give a sense of the whole person to our listening audience. So let me just ask you, from a leadership perspective, what's your non-negotiable? What for you has been your North Star as you have continued to be a leader, not only for your business, but in the community? What's that non-negotiable thing that always keeps you right in the space you need to be to move forward? And I'll let either one of you start with that.
Non-negotiable for me is to be honest with myself. I always say this, don't lie to yourself. When you look in the mirror, be honest and know who you are, because it's very important to know that. And that keeps me steady and keeps me focused and helps me to stay planted and grounded so that I can be the best person. Because if I'm balanced and I'm the best person, then I can be a great asset to my organization and to others. I enjoy working in the community and giving back. That is very, very important to me. I serve on several boards, and I'm on various organizations that provide community services. So I'm very excited about what we do to give back to the community. And those are things that keep me excited and grounded.
Great. David, what's that North Star non-negotiable for you?
Well, it's a couple things. One is definitely my spiritual beliefs and God and doing it the right way. But next to that is my wife and my children. My whole point is, how would they judge, not judge, how would they look at something I've done? And that's really, really important for me, is that what am I doing, would my kids and my wife be proud of it? And secondly, I do a lot of work with kids, and especially speaking out on sexual abuse. My credibility means everything to me in my name. So, you know, that means, that's my, what I call my North Star, is will you lose credibility if what you're doing came out? So I don't worry about my phone ringing at night or any of that, because I'm doing it the right way. Now, you can't stop what people say, but I always tell folks and my kids, when people pull back the layers of your life, make sure it matches what you've been saying.
Very, very powerful. So my last question before I give you both an opportunity to remind our listening audience how they can contact your firms. And this is so apropos, given going back to the fact that it is homecoming and we all are family because we're part of Spell House. So if you could go back and you could tell your 20-year-old self something based on all you've learned since you've left Morehouse and Spelman, what would you tell your 20-year-old self, David?
Oh, wow. Let me see. I have a lot there. Don't be intimidated by Spelman women. No.
Keep working on that one.
I couldn't resist that, because y'all were intimidating, still are. I would probably tell myself, get through your fear earlier. I wish I'd have went to Europe or Africa and done some things as a young person, just really went out there with nothing and just see the world. I admire young people who just say, I'm going to Europe for the summer, I'm going to Africa for the summer, I'm going to China. I mean, they don't care. They just go for it. So get through the fear. But I know why I had that fear. But I would say to myself, get through the fear and don't let anything hold you back.
All right, San Quentin.
I would say that don't feel like you got to do it all today, because I think that in my youth, you feel like if you don't get it done by 25 or 30, life is over and life is just beginning. And pace yourself. Embrace each experience, I would say. Make sure that I get everything out of all the experiences that I come in contact with, because you may be leaving some valuable nuggets on the table. So that would be my advice to myself, is that to realize that I don't have to do it all that day.
Yeah. So, San Quinetta, how can people get in touch with you and Dover Staffing if they have some staffing needs?
You can contact us at www.doversolutions.com, and you can reach us at 770-434-3040.
All right, David?
You can reach us at www.cdmoodyconstruction.com, and our main office number is 770-482-7778.
And I'm going to give you that opportunity to plug your blog again.
And my blog, definitely. And that's real important. www.moodyspeaks.com.
Great. All right. Well, we are getting ready to go into that homecoming weekend. I hope those of you that are listening that maybe you didn't know that's what's happening in an AU center, come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun, although it's going to be a little chilly. So join us next week, Fridays at 10, where we talk about all things growth. So let's talk about it, because
growth matters.